God's grace and mercy and peace be with each of you this day. Today's sermon is based on the reading that we've heard and been reflecting on with the children from 1 Kings chapter 2 and into chapter 3 about Solomon's prayer for wisdom. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here this day, and we pray for your blessing over us as we hear more from your word and as we grow in this gift called wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could ask God for anything, what would it be? We heard some of the students reflect on that a little bit earlier, but how about you? If you could ask God for anything, what would it be? As a child, I spent a good deal of time thinking about magic lamps and genies that granted wishes, and what I would do when my opportunity came along to have those three wishes. I wanted to be prepared. I'd seen Aladdin, I knew how it worked, right? I'd seen Kazam, starring Shaquille O'Neal, if you call that starring, right? I'd seen the Tim Tam commercials, right? The box of Tim Tams that never run out. I knew how it worked. I knew I had to be prepared for my day when it would come, and I would get to make my three wishes. Now, the wishes seemed pretty obvious to me: toys or sports equipment, money to buy toys or sports equipment, and of course, you know, the ironclad agreement for a lifetime's worth of free wishes. I'm sure I wasn't the only one who thought along those lines. I wonder about you. What would you have wished for back then? What would you wish for today? If you could ask God anything, what would it be? You know, God's offer to Solomon to ask for anything that he wanted might sound to us a bit like a genie in a bottle. A bit like a blank check that Solomon was given. He could just have anything he wanted. I don't think it's quite that simple in Solomon's case. For one thing, God doesn't actually say to Solomon that he's going to give him anything he asks for. He just encourages him to ask for anything that he wants. And there's a bit of a difference between those two things. We might hear this and we might think, is this a gracious offer that God's giving Solomon? Is it a directive to do something in particular? Is it a test? Is it a lesson he's trying to teach him? And I think the answer is yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. And perhaps more than that as well. You see, what happens throughout the reading, if we follow it through, is that God works with Solomon. And God changes Solomon through this experience from being this guy who is deeply aware of his own inadequacy and his own issues, through this prayerful encounter with God, to becoming someone who's incredibly wise, whatever that means. To becoming someone who's actually now renowned and respected for his wisdom and sought out for his wisdom. So I want to take you kind of on that journey today with Solomon, looking at his inadequacy to begin with, his prayer, and then finally his wisdom. So Solomon says to God, "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number." Solomon has at the beginning of our text this deep awareness of his own inadequacy and his own insufficiency to do the task God is expecting him to do. To be the king that God wants him to be. He just doesn't feel up to the challenge, at least not initially. He looks at his father, David, who reigned for 40 years. You know, a great king, not always a great person, but a great king. And he looks at that and he looks at the task and he looks at the people and he just says, "God, it's too much. I'm not up to the challenge. It's too big a shoes to fill. I just can't do it, God." He has this deep sense of his own inadequacy. And you know, there's some hints in the text that this fear of his is not entirely misplaced. If you look at where Solomon's been and what he's been doing, the previous chapter of 1 Kings, he's pretty much been wiping out everyone who poses a threat to his throne, right? And kings used to do this sometimes when they came to power. They'd basically get rid of every other threat to the throne. everyone who stood in their way or could possibly threaten them. So Solomon has a few issues, right? A few insecurities. He has some moral failings, we would say. He has some problems. We're also told that Solomon loved to sacrifice at the high places. What's that about? These were the places where lots of people would go, but the Jews were actually forbidden to go into these places to offer their sacrifices. So Solomon has a few issues with loyalty to God and what God's asked him to do, his own spirituality, his own religious practice, perhaps not quite what they should be. Solomon's trying to please everyone. And in that sense, he's already a good politician, right? Trying to please everyone, trying to keep everyone happy. But ultimately, it just leaves him feeling like he's not up to the challenge. He's not good enough for this job. He says, I am too young. I'm only a little child, he says. Now, Solomon was probably actually already in his 20s by this point. But his experience is that he's not experienced enough to do what he's being expected to do. Kings in those days had to administer the justice of the kingdom. So they were like judges as well as what we would consider a political leader to be. They were like judges. So people would come to them with all their disputes, all their issues, all their cases, and they would have to determine right and wrong, good and bad, innocence or guilt. This was part of their job. So you can see Solomon looks at all this and he just says, it's too much for me, God. I'm not up to that challenge. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too young. I'm not trained for it. I'm not equipped for it. I can't do it. That's where Solomon is at the beginning of our text. Wonder if you can relate to that in your different roles in life, your roles in your families, your roles in your workplaces, your roles in the community, whatever they might be. This sense that too much is being expected of you and you're not up to that challenge, or people are looking to you for things that you simply can't offer, or the to-do list goes on forever and you just can't do it all. It just keeps going and you just can't do that much. You can't do everything people are looking to you to do. There are practical things in our lives. There are moral things. There are spiritual things. There are struggles. There are failings. And they give us this sense of inadequacy that Solomon also experienced. Now, while I think we could see that sensation and that realization as a negative thing in our lives, what we see with Solomon is him using this, or God using this, for a good purpose. So God using this understanding that, yeah, I am inadequate in some ways, and I am insufficient, and I am not up to the task in some ways. But where does that lead me? Does that lead me to despair? Or does that lead me to my knees before God saying, I need help with this? I can't help all these people. I can't meet the needs of all these people. I can't do everything, but you can. So help me help them. So do what I can't do. So work through me to be the person you have called me to be. This is where we see Solomon moving throughout our text. One commentator writes this: those in public office, and I think we could say any of us, need to be aware of the weight and importance of their roles in life and of their own insufficiency to fill those roles so that they turn to God and begin to seek his guidance. This is an important realization. This can be a helpful realization for us. So what is Solomon's prayer? When he falls on his knees before God, when he realizes that he's not up to the challenge, what does he actually pray? This is what he says. Lord, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. So the thing he actually prays for is discernment. Discernment, a discerning heart, which is really the ability to listen, like the old owl, the ability to listen and the ability to understand what you're hearing. Right? So it's the attitude, firstly, the attitude that is patient and open and willing to hear things. But it's also the ability, the knack, the skill of understanding those things that you're hearing. So it's both sides Solomon wants. He wants the attitude, the patience to do it, and he wants the ability to do it well. to hear well, to listen well to God and to the people that are in front of him. And he thinks this is really going to help him in his job, in the task he's being called to do. In fact, he says, give me a discerning heart so that I can know right from wrong, good from bad, so that I can be a good judge for these people, so that I can carry out my duties faithfully. Listening to God, listening to one another, these are such important skills to develop. And God says, this is wisdom. This is wisdom. You know, we have an age where we're not short on information, right? We have all the information we could ever want at our fingertips. We know the stuff. We know the content. The question is, what do we do with that content? What do we do once we know stuff, right? What do we do once we've been online and we've got all the answers? Now what? Right, so that's wisdom. That's where wisdom comes in. The question is, what do we do with what we've heard? What do we do with what we've found out? This is where Solomon is moving towards. So what we're called to is to listen, firstly, and to listen with a heart that's ready to hear, not with a mind that is ready to formulate a good comeback, right, which is sometimes how we listen, or with a mind that just wants to please or appease other people. I'll listen if I have to, right? Or not with a kind of a mindset to criticize, which is often how we listen as well, to judge others, to judge what we're hearing, to sort of jump in with our own thoughts. This is listening to understand, listening to grasp, listening to hear what's on people's hearts and minds, where they're really coming from, we might say. This is what Solomon calls discernment. And it's so important, such an important thing for us to have and to work with. Solomon's prayer is a model prayer for us in many ways, in many roles, in many situations in life. Think of your own situation in life, whatever it is. It's all different for each one of you. If you're a parent, if you're a child, if you're a grandparent, if you're a grandchild, if you're a teacher, if you're a student, if you're an employer, if you're an employee, right? You have different roles in life, but the question is, who is God calling you to listen to be open to hearing, to discern their messages? Firstly, it's him, I think. And secondly, it's the people he has put all around you. They're the people who are there. They're the ones who are trying to talk to you. They're the ones who have got wisdom to share with you. Are you listening to them? And are you open to hearing those messages and discerning them for yourself? Growing through those messages that you're taking in. We are called to listen, to hear, to discern in order to understand. It says in the book of James, if any of you feels you lack wisdom, you should ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, the beauty of Solomon's prayer is that this is Solomon beginning to align his will with the will of God. Because all he's really doing is asking for what God already wants to give him. Right? God wants him to have wisdom. God wants him to learn, to grow, to listen to people. And so Solomon is just saying, Lord, give me this gift that you already want to give me. This is what prayer is all about. Learning to align our wills with the will of God. It's not about the three wishes, right? It's not about whatever you think you want. It's about learning to think as God thinks and about what he wants and he desires for our lives. So we pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. This is the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, the night before he's betrayed, the night before he dies. This is what he prays, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Now you might think, yeah, and look where it got him, right? And in some sense, yes, the will of God is not always an easy thing for us to hear or an easy thing for us to live out. But that doesn't mean it's not a good thing for us to hear and a good thing for us to live out. As we learn, like Solomon had to learn, to align his will with the will of his heavenly Father. So, third point, the wisdom of Solomon. What exactly is the wisdom of Solomon? What is God's response to this prayer? We read this. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not long life or wealth for yourself or for the death of your enemies, but you have asked for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor." Solomon is given the wisdom that he asked for. He's given the wisdom he needs. He becomes known for that, respected for that, renowned for that. And in fact, decisions he makes from there on bear witness to that. And in fact, whole sections of the Bible, like the book of Proverbs, attest to it, right? They're his books that he wrote or that others wrote with him. Books of wisdom in the Bible, books that guide, that counsel, that advise. This is the wisdom of Solomon, and really it's just the wisdom of God through Solomon. It's the wisdom that seeks to apply the things of God to the things of this world. It's the wisdom that takes faith and applies it to life. It's the ability to combine those things. This is wisdom. And this is what God wants for Solomon, and this is what God wants for each of us, I believe. Then you hear that God gives Solomon even more than he bargained on. Even more than he was asking for, right? Even more than he desired or that his heart could contain. And another commentator says, you know, Solomon had wisdom given to him because he asked for it. He had wealth given to him because he didn't. Solomon had learnt to align his values with the values of God, to align his will with the will of God, and therefore what comes into his life is incredible blessing, far beyond what he wanted, far beyond what he asked for. This is the work of God, to always give us more than we ask, to give us more than we think we need, to give us more than we can contain, to give us blessings far beyond what our eyes see, what our hearts ask him for. This is God's work, and it's an important work. You know, things weren't always that easy for Solomon, right? From this point forward, you might think he's got wisdom, he's away. Right, he's going to be a great king, and in some ways he is a great king. But in some ways, the problems that plagued Solomon at the beginning of his reign are still plaguing Solomon throughout his reign. He falls back to them, right? The same issues again and again. He falls back to them. And so what we learn is that there's got to be a deeper wisdom. There's got to be a better king. There's got to be another kingdom to which all these things are pointing us and drawing us. And Christians say, there is. It's the kingdom of Christ. It's the wisdom of God through Christ. It's the person of Christ who comes into the world to fulfill what Solomon could never fully fulfill for us. And within this kingdom, our own inadequacies and our own insecurities and our own failings do not define who we are. Only God through his Son can do that. And God through his Son is gracious and merciful and defines us as his child, who he loves. This is what defines us. The good grace of the King, his wisdom, his favor, his forgiveness, and his blessing. So St. Paul writes this, "It's because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." My prayer for you would be that God would give you the wisdom you need to be the person he has called you to be. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in our various spheres of life and stations that we're in, vocations and callings and jobs, you give us a sense of our own inadequacy for those things, our own securities, our own struggles with them, failings we have, difficulties we have. But you use those things to call us to our knees in prayer, to come before you, to ask for what we need, and to help us align our wills with your will for us. Lord, give us the wisdom we need, the discernment, the understanding we need to do what you have called us to do in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.